And your medals.
Been like, look at this.
Yes, I would have been like, your awards and your medals.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Lais and the
Hi,
Coach.
Guys.
And we are back with Carrie.
Yay!
Yeah. So Carrie was on with us last week, and we were chatting about her journey to the stage, competing with the WBFF for the first time, and now it's all happened. So we are going to recap her weekend experience and see how it all went. So how'd it go, Carrie?
Well, it was okay.
It was all right.
No, it was, it was amazing. I think you have to be more specific.
So when we were on the show last, we talked about, you know, why you had decided to compete and all of those things and, you know, the journey to the stage with all the setbacks that you had. And typically when we have competitors come back on, I think it's you know, obviously you get on stage in your bikini and stuff, but I always like to talk about the weekend, like the weekend itself. Mm. And what was your take getting to the hotel, registration, and all the things that happened? So without leaving any details out, like
The full experience.
The full experience. So the when did you get to the hotel?
So I love that we're going this way, because this is like what it's all about for me.
It
really, interestingly, on Monday last week, no matter how prepared you are, you said like the hotel, let me backtrack to Monday, right? I always think it's interesting, no matter how prepared you are for something, there's always that like punch list of the last minute details.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So on Monday, I was like, you know what? I am setting my intentions really strong for the week to come. And when I teach people intentions, I'm always like, you got to remember, it's not just the tangible things. Like I got to do this. But like, pull it into mindset as well. Like, what is your intention for the week? So at the very beginning of the week, I said, you know, my whole intention, and I adopted the mantra of like, feel this moment. Right. Shout out to my friend Pitbull, because it's an homage to his, like, that song is so inspiring to me. But I really said, like, I'm going to feel every single moment that comes my way this week, the good, the bad, the ugly. And there was definitely all of that mixed in. But that just allowed me to like slow down through the week and really embrace everything. And it's like, I wanted to embrace the fact that, you know, I had to get up early to go to the makeup, that maybe I was running around and whatever the case may be. So I say all of that because I got to the hotel on Thursday,
okay,
2 hours later than I was supposed to. So I had this whole plan in my head that I wanted to be at the hotel by 3, which it was funny because at some point on Thursday, I'm like, I don't know why, because I have nothing to do. Like, it's just like, I think I wanted to be there because that's when the show started.
Right.
Yeah. The show started on check-in. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
The show doesn't start like when you get on stage.
No,
right.
Which is, what's the difference? I mean, and that's just the difference about the WBFF against every other federation, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and Team Forever versus perhaps an experience by yourself or maybe even some other teams, right? Mm-hmm. Like for us, it's just an event from day one, mm-hmm, right? And all, like, you know, I got to the hotel, so I was late getting to the hotel, but I was like, you know, that's when I pulled in that like mantra of like, it's okay. I'm just good. Like, my daughter's flight was late coming in. We had some issues picking things up. I was like, I'm just going to sink into the moment. I'm just going to be okay with the fact that I'm late and just go slow and really enjoy everything. So I did. And so we checked into the hotel probably around 4:30 on Thursday. And and then everything kicked into gear. A bunch of the girls arrived that night as well. So I think I ran into our first team member in the gym that night, you know. But it's just like such a great energy, like everybody's so like alive and like
excited.
You know, so hard for it. So I got there on Thursday night, got myself all organized, everything placed where it needed to be, and that was just like, you know, my language is like, it's game day,
right?
You know, like, I'm like, it's game day, people, you know, for, you know, it's time to go.
And and you've been, you know, unlike other people that are experiencing that weekend for the first time, you've been to other shows,
yeah.
And you've seen what's going on, but this time was different. This time it was your show.
Yeah.
You know, so how is it different? Like,
that's a great question. Like, so, you know, that was probably one of my most fun reflections. 'Cause like, I have been to other shows and I've helped out at other shows. Mm-hmm. And so, one of the things for me was I couldn't get over how much free time I had. You know? Honestly, on Saturday, it was like 1:30 on Saturday. And I was like, can I come?
You start pacing back and forth.
Can I come help with something? Because I was literally like, I had so much time. But I'm so grateful for that time, because those spaces in between, those are the spaces that matter.
Yeah.
Those are the spaces.
You have to stay present in them.
Exactly. When I'm in my hotel room alone and I'm, you know, prepping my bag for the photo shoot or prepping this or just quietly sitting there, Those are the things that really matter. And I think for me, the difference, you know, I mean, obviously going to other shows to support the team has a certain energy, and, you know, and helping out with the WBF has a certain energy. But the difference between that and this one was obviously the fact that this was my show. This
right. was my about you
showing up and being ready. And yeah. so, I mean, it was complete polar opposites. The one thing I'll say is that I was so surprised. I was like, I didn't get nervous one time.
That's awesome.
Like,
that's
not,
awesome.
There wasn't like night before nerves or whatever. Again, because, I mean, we talked a great deal about imagination. I've been teaching imagination since I came home on Sunday to all my groups and all my clients, because it, like, I imagined the moment so well. That, like, that whole, like, I keep using that language, game day, but mm-hmm. I was like, it's game day. This is what we've been prepping for. This is what I've been ready for. So now it's just about enjoying every single moment. Yeah. And I did. And it was from start to finish.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's funny because we talked last time about how women specifically a lot of times don't put themselves first. Mm-hmm. So how was it for you, like, just blocking everything out and this entire weekend being about you?
Yeah, you know, it was fun. I mean, look, like, I, you know, I practice what I preach on that regard, right? Like, I, that's what I do, is I teach women how to do that. So, you know, I'm pretty good about that on a daily basis myself. But there was, like, it was interesting because as you guys know, and our team knows, like, a lot of my kids all support and help out with the WBFF. So they were there this weekend. And they're habituated to be able to come and ask me, like, where do I need to be? What do I need to do? Et cetera, et cetera. And this weekend, I just, like, I think on Friday morning, just before I went into the photo shoot, I was like, mama's out. Like, don't message me. Like, if you need something, go talk to, on show day, I was like, go talk to Allison, go talk to Leggies, ask questions, but I'm out. Like, yeah. I'm out, you know? And of course, like, they still, I think this is the part where, like, a lot of moms can appreciate, like, they still habitually messaged me,
right?
And that was where I had to catch myself about not taking ownership over whatever their issue was, right? You know, like, if they were confused on something, I was like, yeah. Well, you know what, instead of me trying to solve the problem, I was like, you have to go
figure
talk
it out
to someone, right? Because I really wanted to, like, honor my moment, and really I worked so hard for that moment, and I didn't want to be taken over by normal life stress. Like, my husband went to get into the show and they couldn't find his ticket. And, you know, and of course everybody texts me, like,
right,
Bubby can't get into the show. And, like, I'm literally standing in my bikini about to go on stage, and I checked my phone by happenstance. And I was like, again, I went with the, like, nobody messaged me. I'm done. I'm out, you know, but not in a negative way.
Right.
Yes.
And it was just, it was really about, like, look, for like 24 to 48 hours, like, this is my time, and I need you to respect that. I need you to know that I poured everything into this moment, and they were really great. They respected it, and, you know, there wasn't any issues. But I think that every mom, every woman needs to know that taking 24 or 48 hours for yourself, the thing is that it doesn't diminish you. It elevates you as a parent.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I know you guys, because we've talked about it in our team. Like, I've got a fire in my belly from this weekend. You know, and that energy doesn't have to die.
Right.
You know, I'm going on to compete in Worlds. So, of course, I have something else that I'm kind of directed to at the moment. But even if I wasn't, like, I think that one of the things that I've tried to infuse into my groups this week is, like, borrow my fire, you mm-hmm. know, and
yeah.
use it to ask yourself, like, what can I do differently? What do I want to do for myself? So, you know, anybody coming off of show, take that fire and use it as a catalyst, as opposed to being like, oh, I'm back to normal life now.
Right.
Yes. How do you pull in show weekend to normal life? Like, maybe it's a matter of, you know what, every day putting a little bit more effort into the way you look and present yourself,
mm-hmm.
so that
yes.
you feel a little bit more diva mm-hmm. on a given day. You know, mm-hmm. like, that's just a small example.
Right.
But, you know, I think that there's so much that you can gain from a show outside of just the fact that you're stepping on stage to win or to just show up, whatever the case may be. And if you use it properly, like, I have felt an exponential increase in myself as a businesswoman this week.
Okay.
And, you know, as, like, not like, and I was doing great before, like,
right.
you know, but, like, that's never to say that, like, things weren't great before. It's just, like, there's always a next level available
100%.
To you. And so for me this week, like, I'm just firing on all cylinders, and my job, I consider my job is, like, how do I continue to carry that forward for
right.
myself?
Right. Yeah. 100%. So a lot of times, you know, it's so cool to hear what people see on the other side of these journeys, right? Because they'll see the stage pictures and they see the before and afters and they the see physique. All the stuff that we do.
Yeah.
But what is it like on, like, what was your Friday like? Did you wake up and do cardio? Like, what was Friday like? Because the shows are on Saturday always.
Did I have to do cardio on Friday morning? I can't remember if I did cardio on Friday morning. I don't think so. I think I was completely, no, maybe I did. I don't remember if Friday morning if I did cardio or not. But, you know, I mean, I basically, I woke up, I checked in, which, you know, is like so funny because I didn't have to check in on Sunday or Monday, but I still did because I'm like, I'm
used to it.
It's your habit. Right? Right. It's like, it's yeah. like, we were talking the other day about bookends. It's yeah. like the bookend of my day. So Friday, I woke up, I checked in, and it's interesting because for me, there was a little bit of a mix of like the shows that I've attended. Because mm-hmm. my first instinct was like to text you and be like, hey, what are you doing? Do you need something?
Right. Yeah, right. She was asking me, she'd come up to me, do you need something? I'm like, no, do you need something? Like, this is your show.
But I mean, I checked in. I ate my meals accordingly to when they were timed out and when I was supposed to eat my meals. I was due, you know, I felt an immediate pull to like go downstairs to beauty services and just say hi to everybody. Cause I, you know, now I know everybody there and there's just an energy, there's a vibe. And you know, like we had our team photo shoot on Friday mm-hmm. and it was like, any, you can come and hang out or you don't have, you come just for your photo shoot. But that's when it all started. Right. Yeah. So it's like, I kind of came in and out throughout the day cause I was going upstairs to eat my meals, checking in, doing my stuff, getting stuff ready. But you know, it was Friday was really all about from, I don't know. I mean, it started at like what, 8:30 in the morning till we finished shooting around 3:30. It was all about just being with the team, being glammed up, enjoying that experience.
Your photo shoot was so epic.
Helping each. Oh my gosh, the pictures are going to be to die for.
Yeah, we like to during show weekend. We like to always have time for the team to have photo opportunities. Because it's going to be the time when they look the best, right?
Yeah, like, we like to kick off the weekend that way.
You are peaking for this moment. You're peaking for the stage. So why not take advantage of the opportunity and say, well, let's get some pictures in.
Yeah, and you're not
orange
yet.
Right. Orange yet. So it's always a great opportunity for the team and for anybody doing a show to get pictures done. I feel like it always opens up the weekend. Because if you wait until showtime to get on stage, like, all that is building up. Right. Yes. All that is building up. Yeah. So I think the photo shoot's always like,
It's an icebreaker. Like, it allows you to already get glammed and pretty. So you already feel totally. Like your weekend has started. It allows you to get behind the camera, which is something that people are super uncomfortable mm-hmm. with. And even if you've done a photo shoot before, there's nothing like a dentist photo shoot. So it allows a completely different experience. And then you roll into registration and then you just roll from one thing to the next.
It sets up your confidence.
Yes. Right?
Like you get that like breaks the ice. While it's game day, right? Yeah. Like game day starts, like excuse the sports analogy, but you know, it's the reason that I left the other federation I was competing with 10 years ago was because you go to a registration in a tracksuit,
right?
You get your envelope and you're done. And then the day of the show, you show up at 3 o'clock or whatever time. And there's
time to get on stage
no experience and right. around it. Right.
Right.
Like, yeah.
The WBFF, there's photographers everywhere. There's behind the scenes media everywhere.
It's very glam.
You know, it's
very luxury.
It's like a red carpet event from start to finish.
For everything. Right. Everything.
And so, and then obviously we went into registration night, which it's so funny. Cause like, sometimes I'm like, I'm almost more excited for registration. Like, I mean, there's something about the feeling of registration night, you know? Yeah. And I love that moment because I love to connect with people. Like, so for me, like, it's an opportunity to connect with, you know, our team, obviously, but also the people in the WBFF, you know, in their organization who I've connected with over the last year and a half. So that was an amazing experience for me because I have connected with a lot of them and they know my journey as well. And it was actually kind of like the ramp up to show for me because everybody I crossed, they're like, you know, you're gonna do so well, everything's gonna go great, you know, like, you know, this is your moment because I've been telling my story for a year.
Right.
And I think that that's one of the things that I call it like this reciprocity of sharing, right? When I share with the world, what I get back is the energy that's coming back my way, right?
Right.
And so it's like this ultimate feeder to my own vision. When someone says, oh, you know, good luck out there, whatever. Like, I recognize that, for lack of better words, that's self-created because it was what I put out that I was receiving back. So registration night was just so much fun. Like, it was
100%. I know that not everybody starts their weekend with a photo shoot, but everyone
we
that's competing, well, we do, but everyone that's competing does start or kicks off with registration night.
Oh, and let's talk about Team Forever's entrance.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, it was to die
That's
for.
Our tradition.
It was like everyone was like decked out in our team colors, red and black. And
so we happened to be last, which we didn't plan, but the room was filled.
Save the best for last.
All the competitors are there, and then we rolled in black and red, you know.
We rolled out.
We were
just amazing.
It's like a gang.
It's like it really is. It really is. Yeah. And registration night, for anybody watching, is the time of your show weekend where you get your number for your suit, your registration package,
your itinerary
for the show.
Meet everyone.
But on what's most common is what she was saying, where you show up in an auditorium somewhere, all the athletes are in their workout gear or track suits or whatever. Mm-hmm. They get their thing and they just move on with their day. And with the WBFF, that is the kickoff to the event. And it is a full gala red carpet event. Everyone is dressed up.
Yes.
And that's what really kicks it off for everyone.
Yeah.
So the weekend starts there. And honestly, that is where everyone starts the judging process.
Yeah.
Because ultimately
that's the very first impression.
You know, if you are an athlete competing with this federation, it's never just about the look on stage. It's about all of it, right?
All of it.
So how you show up to registration night is part of the package.
And everyone at registration is going to be at the show. So like obviously Allison's there, but like anyone that's going to be sitting in the judges panel the next day is already there and they already know that they're judging.
Mm-hmm.
So
and this is like,
it's your chance to introduce yourself in the best way possible.
A shout out to you guys, because, you know, this is one of the things that I think is just so standout about it. It's like, you know, you're like, when you do our color coordinating, you're always like, and it's red,
not burgundy,
not this wine color. It's red, right? But it seems
to make me sound like I'm such a bitch.
No, not at all. It's because,
whatever.
But it's true though, right? Like, because if you think about it, red comes in, and this seems like such a small detail, but so I used
all
to,
the details matter.
I used to work as a creative director for a fashion magazine. So for me, my eye on all that stuff, like if my eye's on it, you know that the people who are watching, their eyes are on it, right? And so it seems like a small detail, but burgundy and red
are
not the same thing. Yeah. And if you're walking in and you got somebody in persimmon and someone in red and someone in burgundy and someone in wine, it no longer has that cohesion.
Exactly.
And like
the whole point of matching and having colors.
And so like we were like bang on, like and we always are, because you guys coordinate so well.
Yeah.
And like I, like, because of the fact that I see everything that goes on behind the scenes with all that stuff, like I appreciate it so much, because I've seen teams come in where you know it was kind of like, you know, this color and this color, but there's a lot of ranges of the color,
of blue,
purple and red and pink, right? And so you like the judges might be watching, but in the meantime, we as a team are feeling.
Right.
Exactly.
And when we're walking in like that, we're feeling on top. Like, we got these amazing pictures coming up the stairs. Right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Those pictures coming up the stairs.
I'm so sad I wasn't there for that.
Oh my gosh. They were just like to die for, right? And it's just like, there is nobody who was in the hotel who couldn't have noticed us.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know?
And here's the thing too, like about the details. Like, I know like it's small details, but it's like all the small details matter.
Yeah.
When it's something this big,
totally.
You know? So it's like, whether it's a small detail of, you know, the shades of the color or the outfits that you're wearing for this, or the accessories you're wearing for that, or like you always talk about with the posing, like if you have a finger that's sticking out, like it's not about it being overwhelming, but like every detail matters. And when you pay attention to the details, then like you said, you feel it.
Totally.
The way you feel about how 100%. You're showing up completely feels different.
100%. I mean,
yeah.
I think I must have bought like 5 different pairs of earrings for my bikinis.
Yeah.
Because until I found the right ones.
Yeah.
You know, because there was like one small thing that was off about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's always interesting, because when people first get started on the journey to the stage, they want to worry about the details.
Mm.
When the details don't matter.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's the basics.
At first,
the details don't matter. And they kind of use the details of, oh, what shade of red is it, to hold them back when we need to execute some bigger
I agree.
And that's why
the details
things,
are later,
right?
And that's why having leaders is like, so I think I got onto my coaching kick last time when I was here, but I'll get onto the coaching kick again. Because, so I actually had a lot of people come up to me afterwards on Sunday and start conversations with me. And I had this whole conversation with someone who was actually looking for a coach. And of course I referred him to Team Forever. But, you know, the point that I was making is that, like, it's not your job. It's not your job on the team, like for our team members, to worry about the details, because they have to trust the leaders.
Right.
Right. And I think that that's what, like, and this is another thing that you guys are great at. Like, you don't need to think about that right now. I've got you, you know, and when the timing is right, Lies and Raph are going to tell us. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, I think that that's one of the things. And I get that when you first start on a journey, it's hard to trust that process.
Yeah, people struggle with that.
But, you know, I think
they want to control it.
Yeah, and I think that as our team grows, though, like, I mean, we, like, represent it this weekend. Yeah. But as the team gets bigger and bigger and bigger, what we have is, like, the people who've been around for a while who get to feed that information to the newcomers. Like, you don't need to worry. If Lais has not posted about a photo shoot yet, you don't even need to be asking the question,
right?
It's one of the reasons I do my very best to avoid questions, because I'm like, if Lais and Raph have not told me yet, I don't need to know yet,
right? Do you find it interesting how hard it is to let go sometimes?
Especially when you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
Like, but you're brand new at this and you want to control something you know nothing about.
Right. Yeah. I, you know, obviously over this much time, it's interesting to observe how difficult it is to let go, even when you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it isn't until that moment that you completely let go that we actually start working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
because you don't allow us to do our thing.
Yeah.
If you're trying to hold on too tight and control and think for yourself and plan ahead, like,
you know, it speaks to the human psyche.
I was going to say, do the brain stuff.
What is it? Brain stuff. Do the brain stuff. I mean, it speaks.
We should have like a bell. Brain stuff.
It's you guys.
It speaks to the human psyche.
Because I always tell them, like, do the science stuff.
Do the science stuff. It speaks to the human mechanism of control, right? When we think that we have, the brain seeks predictability. The problem is that what we're seeking predictability around is often the stuff that we can't control.
Right.
So the predictability that we can control is the consistency of simplicity of showing up today. I can't create predictability around tomorrow even. All I have is this moment right now. And I think that one of the things we do, and it's kind of what I was talking about last time, is that we have so many ingrained fears and worries and stressors and anxieties in us that's actually what's driving what we're trying to create predictability around, as opposed to trying to create predictability around the things that we can control, like showing up today and drinking my water. And, like, you know, on day one, like, if, like, let's just say, for example, Miami is 12 weeks out from now. I don't know how Miami.
20.
Miami's 20 weeks out from now. Like, there's not one person on the team right now who should be thinking about, like, what color their lipstick's going to be.
Right.
Right.
Like, or their outfit, example, or their photo shoot, like, or their bikini, or anything.
Yeah. Like, what you have to think about then is, like, what I'm eating my meals, drinking training. My water, getting my steps, and training. Right. Yeah. And that's it. And when you hire, like, I'm a big believer, like, I get it. There's some really shit coaches out there.
Yeah.
Like,
then don't hire those.
But, like, if you're with Team Forever, you've got the best. Right. So if that's the case, like, don't try to, you hired someone to do a job. Let them do their job.
I've talked about that several
it's
times.
Simple enough.
Because I don't ever see somebody hire their mechanic and they jump in under the hood with them.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
my dad, maybe, but
or
you go, a plumber.
Or you're at the doctor and it's like, well, I think it's this. And like, well, really, do you think it's this? Maybe it's this.
Yeah.
You don't go back and forth. Right. But I think that because exercise and food is
everyone knows what to do.
Right. It becomes so easy to have an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times all of those opinions are the things holding you back because, you know, ultimately I think that there's a lot of things that work, right?
Yes.
If you can be consistent and you can be compliant, you're going to get an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that until you get to that point where you feel comfortable enough to be consistent and compliant is where you will actually see it happen.
100%. You know, I was, as you were talking there, I was just thinking about, like, information is everywhere. And I was thinking, like, knowledge is power, but you got to be careful what power you're using that for. Right. Because I think, you know, obviously it's so, anybody can go online and Google, like, macros.
I say it all the time.
Program, yeah. Right. Like, knowledge is great, but, like, there are clients of mine that I've actually put on, like, podcast sabbaticals. I'm like, you're not allowed to watch any more podcasts.
Right.
Because you watch five podcasts a week, and that means you have five different perceptions in a given week what you're supposed to be doing with mm-hmm. your life. So stop listening to stuff. Like,
yeah.
I have this, like, for me, you know, when we started posing together, you know, when I start coaching with someone, I turn out the rest. I don't even like look. I don't want to know what so-and-so is doing for their posing or so-and-so is doing for, I turn it off because yeah. I don't want to, I like, it's that whole, I can't remember all the things we talked about because we talked about so much last time we did the interview, but it's that whole control your influence.
Right.
Right. Like if I have influence coming into me, don't act like you're confused because you're confused, but you've watched five podcasts right. on how to get ready for stage.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now you have five different opinions. Yeah. And now what you've done is you've fed that narrative of scarcity and fear that you're not going to be ready.
Yeah.
How are you possibly going to pick what's going to go? So like you hire a coach and a team and you step into the journey.
And then you just do.
It's so hard. And I get it. Cause you know, I do mindset. So I understand how hard it is, but you got to turn off the frontal lobe yeah. and you just got to execute.
And you can go, and you can go anywhere. Like you said, you could like these days you could Google it, but you know, back in the old days where I'm from, you could read a book, right? Like
right.
back in the day, you go Barnes and Nobles, like there's yeah. sections of different diets
yeah.
and you can make an argument on how effective they can all be.
Sure.
I think that the challenge is that when you go do that, the person that wrote the book doesn't know you
mm-hmm. yeah.
and doesn't know what you've been through and what you're going through and all what the little nuances like about what your day is like and what your life is like.
Yeah.
So while the advice might be good, it just may not be applicable
to
you.
There's no one size fits all.
Right. You know,
yeah. together. So, we spent a lot of time together.
So I think that when you are working with somebody, that's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, what's your day like?
Yeah,
you know,
100%. It's all different.
But
back to the information, I feel like everyone that needs so much information, use it as a crutch to just not do the work.
Yeah.
It's almost like I need to know the facts. I need to listen to this. And I need to read this. And I need to ask this. And it's like, you're not going to know what he knows. Like,
yeah.
it's not your job. Like yeah. the same way that if a plumber shows up here, I don't know what the hell the plumber knows. Just 100%. Do your job.
But it's like I said, we don't do that for other things,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Like, I think that maybe we should, right? Maybe if we're going to go take a flight somewhere, we should like, well, let me see how a plane works.
No,
that was get on the fucking plane and go where you need to go.
Right? Like,
intense anxiety.
We just don't do
oh my
that
God,
for
say it. Don't even.
We don't do that for anything else.
But even if you call a plumber here, you're not watching me like, okay, so I have like 100 questions about what you're doing.
Or, hey, I see
it.
That you're sticking this and that.
Yeah.
I saw on Google that maybe if you did it this
yeah.
way.
Yeah, so it's like all the people that want yeah. the information are just avoiding the work.
And it makes sense. Like, again, the psychology of the human mind, it makes sense. Like people, what people are looking for is certainty. And I think that that's one of our greatest deficits is that we try to gain certainty and we can't, you can't like there's the only
say,
thing
impossible.
That you can be certain of is that there is no certainty.
The
greatest guarantee is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that means showing up for yourself. You know, it's like, you know, we're in Central Florida and it's like rained like every hour on the hour for like the last, like just this
so
morning,
annoying.
Like, I mean, I'm using the weather as an example. Like this morning I was like going to call my son and say, today you have to come cut the grass. And like 30 minutes later, the sky opened up and now the grass is wet and you can't cut the grass, right?
Right?
You can't control the end result any more than you can control the weather, except for in your daily actions. So if it comes down to your daily actions, create your certainty by just showing up. Like
right.
one of my kind of like go-to mantras, and you can steal it, you can use it because it's one of the ones that's really powerful for me is, do I really have to ask this question right now? Like, do I really need to know the answer? And I do that in business. I do that in my, you know, my training and my life. Like, do I need to know this now? And if I don't, like, if there's not something imminent that I need to know it now, I won't ask the question. I've conditioned myself to do that because what ends up happening is you spend more time asking questions than you actually spend doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I turn it off and there's a certain level of trust. You obviously have the trust in your coaches, but also in yourself that you know that if it's important, it's going to come back around.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, even thinking about like my cheat meals after show, you know, like a week and a half out was like, no, not necessarily. I don't need to think about that right now.
Right.
You know, the only reason I was thinking about it was because I was fantasizing about the cheat meal after the show. And it was a distraction. Like no matter what, like now it wasn't enough of a distraction to take me off course because I've
right.
been doing this for so long, but you and I, we both know that that is enough of a distraction to take someone else who hasn't been doing it offline
right,
a little
of course.
Bit. And before you know it, they've eaten an extra meal
right.
or whatever the case may be. Right. So it's always about bringing it into the here and the now. And, you know, every single day, myself and with all my clients, every single morning, you know, I set intentions. And every single morning, it's, I always say, it's not about just the, I'm going to drink my water, I'm going to do this, but like, look at your day. What's a priority today on both mindset and execution?
Right.
And plot on a daily basis, not on a, let your coaches handle long term while you handle the short term.
Right. You execute.
If you allow the person that's supposed to be helping you to do what they're supposed to do, you move further faster.
100%. Oh, yeah. You posted something the other day that I thought was so like on point, which I mean, all your posts are on point because we think the same way, but you said something like stop interrupting your process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think like that is so powerful because every time you ask questions, every time you program hop or every time you coach hop, whatever the case may be, you're interrupting your process. You're slowing down, mm-hmm. you're getting to that finish line. You know, the only way, I always tell people, the only way to fast track your results is to fast, like to do today.
Yeah.
That is the shortcut.
Do today.
Do tomorrow and then the next day and the next day.
Don't interrupt it.
You're going to speed up your process.
Don't interrupt it. Don't second guess it.
Exactly.
Just do it. Carry
so on. Back to Friday night.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Registration, you get your number. What was your number?
I lost my number.
Oh, no.
I know, 426. I lost my first badge. I was the last one to leave the dressing rooms on Saturday night. And I had so many things I was trying to collect, including my dress that was trailing. And I lost my number somewhere.
Oh,
that's
no.
Okay.
That's okay.
You'll have plenty more.
I came up with other things.
Exactly.
So the evening continued for you?
Yeah. What did I do after that? I came up to your room. We hung out
check-ins.
For a little bit. Yeah. And you know, this is where I actually, on Friday night, I kind of tapped out earlier because I was just bagged. And I knew that the day was going to be a long day. And I was competing in four categories, which meant I was going to be on stage 8 times. And I was like, you know what? I need to like really get my rest and so on and so forth. And also, I needed to appreciate like coming down before going to sleep because my adrenaline crashed only yesterday. Like I've been running. That's why I'm so tired today. But I was running on so much adrenaline. And I knew that if I didn't go and decompress, I wasn't going to be asleep till 3 o'clock. So I think I was probably in my room around 11 o'clock. And from 11 o'clock, I just kind of laid in bed. I actually took the time to, you know, scroll Instagram and see what everybody was posting and just kind of get like, that was like
a winding down.
Yeah. And then I just fell asleep like a baby.
Awesome. And then you wake up Saturday and it's show day.
It was show day. Yes.
Did you have, since you've been imagining all, did you have a thing mapped out for how your day was going to start? Did you have anything in place like, all right, I'm going to start like this and I'm going to go.
Plan or a ritual or something.
You know, interestingly enough, I built different little rituals into show day. I have like a bunch of different, now I officially have different like things that I'm going to carry through to all shows. But, I think that I didn't have a specific thing for show day because show day was a representation of every other day in my cup, which is wake up, weigh myself, take pictures, check it. And so, and a weight instruction, which is like exactly what I don't do anything without instruction. So, that's exactly what I did. I woke up, I checked in and I awaited instruction. It's interesting because normally I am incredibly methodical about planning out like, here, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do here? What am I going to do here? But I knew I had like two things I had to be mindful of. I had hair and makeup at 10.
Okay.
And I had to be ready backstage at 3:30. And that was like the only thing I had. Like it was crazy, right? So, and in between that, I wanted to practice posing and stuff like that. And so I didn't really have a sequence of anything else. I woke up, I did my check-ins. I think
you stayed the course.
I did. Everybody
what a concept.
Did everybody pick that one up? Stay the course? I stayed the course. Yeah. And, you know, and I think that the biggest thing that I adopted on show day was just go slow. Just go slow and not rush around. Like, I got to get down to makeup. And
frantic.
And I ended up like just kind of like buzzing around and going talking to people and just really enjoying it. And I mean, I was down in hair and makeup for 10 o'clock and got my makeup done and just like really just enjoyed every single moment.
I think that's one of the themes of the weekend. Like everyone seems to have enjoyed their weekend, which is all we ever want for everybody.
That's it. Like, that's all that matters.
You know, I know that there were some other competitors who were like literally flying in on Saturday morning, and I can't even fathom that. Like I am like, I told all my clients like on Tuesday, I'm like, I'm done till next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I connected with them, but calls, coaching, right. like I turned off my world for those days because I like when you work so hard for something and you invest in something with time, energy, and resources, why wouldn't you want to do that?
You have to right? show up fully.
Yeah.
And give right. it your so, all.
100%. I was actually like really surprised with how I wasn't more nervous or anxious or, and I think that just comes from, I think that comes partially from imagination, but also partially from being prepared.
Yeah.
And you know, you can only control, like I kept like, everybody was like, oh my God, you're for sure going to get your pro card. And like for 2 weeks, people were telling me that. And I was like, don't say that. Because there is no for sure.
Right.
The only for sure I have is up until the moment I like step on, well, when I step on stage and I perform,
mm-hmm.
but after that moment, there is no for sure.
Right.
So like, I just kept doing what I needed to do in the moment. And it just, that's what the best thing you can do.
And let's talk about, you know, again, for anybody watching. So you did mention you did four categories.
I did.
So there's multiple categories that people can compete in the WBFF. Anything from, bikini to transformations to men, fitness, like there's a bunch of different categories. And we've talked about them before. What categories did you?
So I did 35 plus and 40 plus
bikini
and in fitness.
Okay.
So those.
So inside of every category, there are also subcategories right. like height, age, that kind of stuff.
Right. So okay. 35 plus and 40 plus in both of those categories.
Okay. Yeah. And the difference in categories for anybody watching?
Oh, you're asking me. let me tell you. I mean, fitness is leaner and more muscular and harder, and bikini tends to be more soft than the other. I think that's the basics of it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you probably know better than I do.
Yeah.
Why is he asking me that question? I mean, that's my basis of it.
So you have four different times that you were going to come out on stage.
In my bikini.
In your bikini. Yeah. Okay. And then you come back out.
In my evening gown and my theme wear.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. So what was that like being backstage? Backstage, I asked specifically amazing. Because once you're on stage, you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And it's your time to shine.
No, backstage was the best. You know, okay, so if I contrast it to my first shows that I did 10 years ago. So, and this is why I am, so I'll just be blunt. I've never been much of a group person. I lead groups. I don't join groups, but not because I think myself better than anybody. I'm just not usually, I'm very independent. I like to do things on my own. I'm mm-hmm. not afraid to do things on my own, but like I will, the number of times I've said to my husband this week, like, oh my gosh, I love our team. Like I love our team. And it changes the game because my first show, I was backstage by myself.
Yeah, me too.
There was no one there. I ended up getting bikini stuff, tan on my bikini. I was stressed out. And I actually think that that's part of the reason I lost interest in competing because
yeah.
it was, I was
the
isolated and I was alone. This was a totally different ball game. Like all our entire team and what we had 12 competing this
mm-hmm.
weekend.
Yeah.
So we were 11 girls backstage because the other one was a man, but we're 11 girls backstage. We were all in the same locker room or the not locker room, dressing room with these like lights and it was so glamorous. And it was just like, you know, so I got on stage 8 times, which meant I wasn't backstage as often as one somebody was getting on stage once.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, for the people who got on stage once, that backstage experience was probably even more important than stage.
Yeah,
because
it's
my
favorite.
You're not back there waiting for the time. Like they're talking and they're
bored.
Playing and they're doing TikToks and they're laughing and they're singing and they're helping each other. And you know, it was just like, that was where.
That's
I mean,
the event.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It really is.
And it gets interrupted
and
you have
like,
to walk on stage.
It was so.
Well, it's funny because I left the weekend and one of the things that I told everybody, it's like we build up to this weekend because,
yeah.
you know, we build up to the weekend and there is so much excitement and there's so much fun going on that it's almost like that solo time on stage interrupts the flow of the weekend.
100%. You know, I was, oh, by the way, I just side note, I don't have a 12 o'clock anymore, so we're good.
Oh, I was about to say, we have 5 minutes.
No, I don't have a 12 o'clock. It got canceled. So I forgot to mention that at the front. But
I'm looking at all the time.
I have no time frame, so I'm good. But for me, I actually found myself at certain points thinking like, what am I missing backstage?
Yeah.
Because I was out there so often. I was like, what was I missing backstage? But you know, the second to backstage is standing in line.
Yeah,
because that's like that's the second, yes. right? Like you're all lined up, and it's so fun.
And you're talking. You're a little nervous. You're dancing.
I saw your pictures of Orlando way back when, so I knew what the hallway looked like, and the lighting back there is so cool.
Yeah,
right? But we're all standing in line, and so the chances are you're not standing beside people you know.
Right.
Like for me, it just so happened, like, and it was so fun because, like, you know, one of our team members was going out before me, and, you know, like, I'm the person who likes to reflect stories to be like their people's journeys. So I was like, I said to, like, Julie, I was like, did you ever think you'd be the first one walking out on stage at a fitness competition? She's like, oh, hell no. You know, but like, that was like such a moment. Like when we were about to do the walkout and Julie was in the lead, I was like, did you ever think you'd be doing this? And she's like, I didn't even stop to think about that.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I like to do that. I like to kind of say, did you ever think? So, but it was fun because we're backstage and, like, you know, I think sometimes there's this image about fitness competing that there's a cattiness. And
there usually is,
you know, but the W, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. I don't know what
it's
it is.
It's the first thing, like after my first show, that is the first, after I said to him, like, there's got to be another woman that we can take to do this. Yeah. My second thing was like, I am so shocked. Like that was my biggest surprise at how nice everyone was and the camaraderie backstage, because 100%. My first show I went by myself.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody back there. And I made so many friends. Like I met people in hair and makeup, and then I met them again backstage, and we met more people backstage, and then we shared donuts. And it was like that backstage experience was so fun, even when I didn't know anybody, 100%. Even though everyone's nervous, like everyone's in it together.
And you know,
it's not catty at all.
That's like
set. It was my biggest surprise.
I think that, you know, Allison and Paul Dillette, who lead the organization, for those who don't know, like, I think they set that as a, you know, as a preface at the start on registration night.
Yeah.
Like, we're all here. We're not going to beat each other. You're going to beat yourself.
Yeah.
And it shows up. I mean, I'm sure that there is some of that. I didn't see any of it.
There always is little bit, but it's like, not that present.
When I came out, like when I put on my theme wear, and I, you know, there was other women there with their theme wear, who technically were each other's competition, you know, and there was no like, oh my gosh, look at her theme wear, like it's better than mine. It was like everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Tell me the story. Like I heard so many stories backstage about why, like, cause I love to ask people like, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and one of the women told me that she, you know, her and her husband have been trying to have a baby for 3 years of infertility, had done in vitro, had done this, had done that and all that stuff. And they just decided to stop trying, and that this was her reclamation of her body. Mm-hmm. I get goosebumps every time I tell that story. But like the reason I'm saying that is because every single person backstage has a reason.
They have a story.
On stage. And it's never like, it's never because like, oh, because I want to be the best in the world.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know,
I want some abs.
You know, it's never that. There's always something so much deeper behind it. And, you know, when a couple of people asked me about the inspiration for my theme wear, and, you know, I told the story and I explained it. And you know, and I think that that's so important because it's a representation of like the journey. You know, and I think that you could weave that into so many different aspects of it. Mm-hmm. So backstage was just like,
it's the most
and it was so fun. Like after the show, everybody's like, I got Doritos, I got cupcakes, you know, and everybody was like sharing food. It was just such a blast.
It's so much fun. It's my favorite part.
It is, again, one of the things that we try to like inspire everybody to look for. Because everyone is so nervous about their moment on stage when they're by themselves.
That they miss the rest.
Yeah.
That they miss the rest. Totally. And it's the one thing that, you know, as I talk to everybody, you know, after the show, they had such a blast this weekend. And while everybody had amazing transformations, right? Those moments are the moments that they miss, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just one of the things, it's hard to convey to somebody when they're starting, when they say, listen, I think I want to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to have a great time backstage.
Yeah. Right.
They're like, no, am I going to be ready? Yeah. Am I going to look okay?
You know, it's the whole, you know, even we were driving home on Saturday after going out dancing. Cause we went dancing as a team. And as we were driving home, I very purposely sat in the back of the truck because I wanted to just kind of gather my thoughts for a few moments. Like I picked my spots of where I want to sit. And like, I sat there watching, we had a dance party in the car. Like if anybody watches my Instagram, you saw it. Like there was like craziness going on in our car, but like, I say that to say like the celebration did not stop.
Right.
And here we are Wednesday and our group chat is, we're still celebrating. We're celebrating the transformations and the pictures and the moments. And, you know, inside our group, you know, on Thursday, we started this like hashtag current status to like update. What are you doing? Where are you at? What's going on? And somebody posted on Sunday, like, you know, what was your high moment and your low moment? Like, it really is that full experience and not just the isolation of, okay, I'm going to compete, get off stage.
Yeah. Right.
And I know we keep coming back to that, but I think it's because it's so important.
Yeah.
Right? And I think all of that is a result of the process, right? Of the result right. of the journey.
Who everyone becomes, everything
who you become as a result of all of
the
this.
The bond we all create together.
Right. I think it's just yeah. critical that if anybody's considering doing this in any way, shape, or form, that you really take the time to immerse yourself in the journey itself, because that's how you're going to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
You know, the dieting, the training, that'll give you the abs, you know, the tight legs and all that stuff. But who you can become as a result of going through this process is in the journey.
Yeah, 100%.
But let's not dismiss the stage time. So how did it go?
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to do it again. I'll be honest, I competed in four categories. That meant I had four walkouts in my bikini and posing. And the first round I was like, I did feel like I wasn't nervous, but I felt that like a drum dump before I went on stage. Yeah. And I was definitely a little trembly, you know, which I think is just normal, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think the best of the best will get that way. But man, you know, when you say there's nothing like it, there is nothing like it. Like that, just the vibe, the energy. By the time I actually watched back yesterday, because my son who runs media, he got some footage of me on stage, right? And I actually watched one of my walk-ups and I was like, man, I own that like a boss. I was like, well done, coach, for teaching me how to walk in heels on stage. But like, I remember that energetic vibe in that moment, right? And you know, it was interesting because I remember when we were doing posing and I was just like, I'm just like such not a smiler. Like I don't like smiling forced, you know, like it just doesn't. But I remember thinking to myself that, you know what, I bet you that when I get on stage, it's going to come naturally because I'm feeding off the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's exactly what happened. Like it's exactly what happened for my bikini category. I wanted to get on stage and represent that one with a little bit more lightheartedness mm-hmm. than my other one, which was a little bit more fierce.
Right.
And I was there, I was present. So I felt that engagement with the audience mm-hmm. and I just sunk into it. Like,
yeah.
Can't wait to do it again. Like literally, I got off stage. I'm like, let's go. You know,
that's
it was
great.
Like four categories. That wasn't too many.
And obviously, we, you know, if you're watching and you haven't seen, how did it end up?
How did it play out?
I'm gonna say this because I actually walked into my gym this week and I was like, I am gonna own bragging rights for 1 week. Because I'm not much of a person to triumph. But I will also add this, that it went exactly as I imagined, which is we've talked so much about imagination. I took first place in 40 plus and 35 plus fitness.
Yes!
I won my pro card in 40 plus fitness. And then I took third place in both categories in bikini 40 plus and 35 plus.
I want to add, because if you say you have to imagine and people think that that's all they have to do. She imagined, but she worked her fucking ass off.
Imagination has to be action.
Okay, imagination is not powerful enough.
I'm so glad you said it.
If not,
oh my gosh,
I'd be forgetting.
Yeah, and I speak out about this all the time because I am like, I'll just be direct. I cannot stand the people who are like, you got to manifest it.
Just throw it out into the universe. Like, no, motherfucker, that does not work.
You know, I think that one of the best things that I can say, and this is what I kept teaching when I was teaching this week, my groups, imagination will lead action.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you are imagining yourself, you know, it was interesting because just yesterday I was driving home from the gym and I was thinking about show in 6 weeks because I'm already there. Like I'm already like imagining that one. But I was thinking about it and I remembered that my inspiration statement, which we'll get into that right now, it's kind of like a mantra. Let's use that. Was astonish them, marvel them.
Mm-hmm.
That was my inspiration statement leading up to show. Because I had done, like, for me, drinking my water, doing my macro, that stuff is, like, done. Like, that stuff for me after 6 years of practicing is an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew at a certain point I needed to shift my focus mentally into owning the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shifted into this, like, astonish them, marvel them. And, like, so my imagination started to, like, literally flip around, you know, like, people gasping and people applauding and people just wowing at the stage presence, right? But because of that, what happened is that my imagination bled into my posing practice. Well, if I'm going to imagine that I'm going to marvel them and astonish them, that means I have to pose more than once a week. That means I have to practice. That means I have to send Maiz my videos. That means I have to try the different shoes to find the right shoes, or, you know, like I play with this, play with that. So the thing is that your unconscious narrative, the story you tell is the truth you know. We said that last time, right? Whatever you're imagining and telling yourself is going to bleed into action. So, I mean, and that's just the way it works. So if you're sitting there imagining yourself not being able to resist the donuts on family Sunday morning dinner or breakfast multiple times, eventually you're going to eat the donut.
Right.
Because you don't recognize that you're priming yourself with that. Now, the thing is that most human beings are so unconsciously unaware that they don't even know that they're thinking those things. So you have to be practicing imagination on a routine basis over and over and over again. Like don't imagine yourself falling on stage. Imagine, or if you do fall on stage, imagine yourself getting back up and being like taking a bow and keeping on going, right? Like don't imagine an outcome that's catastrophic because you're going to sink into that. So it's your actions will always follow what is running under the radar in your unconscious mind. So it's not enough just to like have a vision board or have like a mantra. It's not enough to have those ostensibly without taking them internally and really taking the time to identify that language that's running under the surface of what you're really thinking.
Right.
Because that's eventually like if someone is constantly self-sabotaging, they're like, oh no, but I have a goals book and my goals tell me that this is what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, your goals are saying that. That's conscious. What's happening unconsciously is a different story.
Right.
So, you know, obviously for myself with years and years of practice of this, like I've kind of mastered all of that. Right. But that's what people have to sink into is recognizing that your narrative is running. Your imagination is running. And imagination, by the way, the other word for it is could also be worry. Or projection or stress, like whatever you, if something has not happened yet and you're thinking about it, you're either thinking about it negatively or positively. And if you're thinking about it negatively, worried, et cetera, that's imagination.
Right.
So why would you imagine something that hasn't happened yet badly?
Right.
Like, you know, and the way I teach it is like, you're increasing your odds.
Right.
You're increasing your odds of failure or success. And if they haven't happened yet, it's okay. Like, and I think people need to hear that. It's okay to imagine yourself rocking the stage. It's okay for you to imagine yourself feeling good as opposed to feeling stressed.
Right.
You know, and it's so hard for us as human beings to sink into that, you know? Like we tend to push away the imagination of the things that feel good, you know? Like I did it like
maybe it's like a defense mechanism to not have the letdown.
But you might do that I also think that we live in a world where, you know, celebrating ourselves kind of gets frowned upon sometimes.
Yeah.
And so like, I didn't like publicly talk about this imagination, but like the imagination of kind of placing in all the categories the way I did and I hate saying this out loud and walking off with trophies was an imagination I had, you know, but it was one I kept to myself, you know, but I imagined it. And I knew that in order to do that, you have to back that up now.
Mm-hmm.
And
in
order to do that, I got to show up. I got to do the workout. I got to push hard. I got to pose. You know how many times, like, so I went to the extent of emptying my living room out because we have like half of our living room just has like a chaise longue that we don't use. So I said to my husband like 5 weeks ago, I was like, I recognized that I wasn't posing as often because every time I had to pose, I had to move the couch because I didn't want to pose in a small space. So like 3 weeks out, I'm like, that's it. I'm getting rid of the obstacles in my way to make it easier for me to sink in. So I emptied out my entire living room on that side, just so when the time came for me to pose, I could pose easier. And it increased my posing by 3 times a day.
So and those little things are so important, you know.
100%.
Yep, 100%.
So I know you've mentioned it a few times, but if anybody didn't catch it, so what's next?
Worlds, baby. Well, so yeah, I mean, obviously next for me in the hierarchy of my winning plans is a crown, right? Which would be the WBFF's next step, right? So that's from, this is from the strategic side of that. But you know, if I'm talking about like what's next for me, this weekend I was such a level up, you know? And I had this moment the other day while I was driving to get my smoothie. Because I was like, I got a delicious smoothie the other day. You know, you're thinking, wow, you're
living on the edge already.
But it had whipped cream and all that stuff on it.
Oh, whipped cream.
But when I was driving to go get that, I recognized that it was so cool because I was like, oh man, it's like only going to get better from here.
Of course.
Right? Like I was like, even me, who's had all these years as an athlete and as, you know, cutting and prepping and growing and all that stuff, I'm like, I actually, for a second, was like, I can't even fathom my physique better. But I know that that's exactly what's going to happen because we're going to keep pushing the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for me is better. From a personal standpoint of that, like a better physique, better whatever, stage presence, posing, and all that stuff. But in practical form, that's Worlds. I'll be competing in Worlds in the next 6 weeks.
As a pro?
As a pro, yeah. It's so funny because I was waiting to, like, I didn't know, was I going to be going to Worlds as an amateur or as a pro?
Right.
So you were going to Worlds. That was a game plan.
I was
going to
go anyways, no matter okay. what. Because that comes to, like, I guess we could talk a little bit about, like, planning and forward thinking. Because I think sometimes people have a plan. Like, I went to win. You know, I went to have fun, obviously. But I did go to win. I was after my pro card.
Why is that such a hard thing for people to want to step into?
Yeah, I think people are afraid of saying it, you know. And, I mean, I think sometimes there's twofold, right? Like, you don't have to want to win.
Right.
You can, it's okay. You can go just because you want to... Hold on. There we go.
You could also go because you want to win.
Yeah. And you have to look at, this is where it has to come to that one size fits one, right? I've been doing this for 10 plus years, if not longer. So for me, I was going to win my pro card because I've mastered the art for me of cutting and prepping and growing. So I was going to win a pro card. So I already knew that if that was my target, if I did not win my pro card, in Orlando, I was going to Worlds to win it. Like, and if I didn't win at Worlds, I would have gone to the next one. Like, that was step one, was the pro card, right?
Right.
And so I knew that I had kind of two, if I didn't win it, it was going to be Worlds for the amateur show. If I did win it, it was going to be Worlds for the pro, for with the pro cards in the pro category. So I already had that next tier in place. And mm-hmm. I mean, I have all the tiers above and beyond that as well, but I knew what was coming. So I didn't get to Monday morning and go, wait, what do I do now?
Right.
Because I'm well aware of post-show blues, you know, or post-photo shoot or post-peak blues, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you work so hard for something and then it's done. And we've all watched it where people don't have a plan. And so they fall
sink.
Backwards.
Right. But you see it happen. Somebody's planning their wedding. They get married and it's like they come back from their honeymoon.
And they're depressed.
Right.
Like, I don't like using that language.
Right.
But yes, they're
but,
depressed.
You know, it's exactly that. It's that post-peak
yeah.
blues.
Yeah.
You know, you spend whatever amount of time planning this big event. And in this case for everybody, it's this physique competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you don't have something right after, which is why I think people come back from the honeymoon like, now we got to have a baby. Now we got to have a house. Now we got to, you know,
you're chasing something, right? Yeah.
Instead of planning for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I mean, I already like, so if we're just talking about my own personal vision, like I already know my long-term vision, like, and I think we talked a little bit about this the other day, like whether or not I decided to compete again, my better physique would have always been my long-term vision
because
I love the art of crafting my physique. So I would have always had that. But like, you know, when I decided to compete, it was my initial thing was just compete. And then it was like, oh, well, if I'm going to compete, I might as well go for a pro card. Well, that all kind of got blown out of the, like, cast aside because now my eyes are just set on the world crown.
Right.
Like, I don't care if it takes me 10 years. My plan is to win the world title, the world championship 1 year in my division. And that's what I'm working towards. So now if I know that that's what I'm working towards, you kind of like backtrack it, right? So I already know, for example, like I'm not in charge of my plan. I do what I'm told to do, right? So I already know that if I place or I don't place in worlds or whatever happens, the likelihood is I'll go into a growing season afterwards. But I've already planned that, okay, a growing season means, let's just go with the fact that I'll probably compete in Orlando in April at the Pro-Am.
Okay.
In whatever, that the next time, mm-hmm. right? I already know that I'll be at every single team show and shoot along the way, whether or not, because just because I'm not stepping on stage in 12 weeks
doesn't mean
I'm not prepping or immersed in the vision, right?
Yeah.
So it's that whole, like, when we talk about the post-show blues, you know, we do have to be mindful about, and you guys, oh, you always ask the question, like, who's doing the next show? And obviously that's not just like about like getting a list, right?
No.
It's about getting people to think,
yes.
where are you going next?
Yes.
What are you doing next?
Yeah.
Because if you're not planning where you're going, where you're going is happening anyways,
yeah.
right?
The days you just end up somewhere instead of doing it on purpose.
And doing all of this isn't easy, right? But you had to give up everything, right? You had to give up your entire life to prepare yourself for this. Right, you had to stop being a mother.
She was so confused.
I was like, "Wait, what?
Isn't that what you have to do?
No.
Like, you have to give up on
Why
life?"
Why you say it so seriously?
Because I'm a serious person.
You should stop working and being
like,
a mom.
You know, so actually, who I gave up.
Because that is what people think.
Yes. No. You know, so
I would can't be a that. Mom. I would do work. That too if I didn't have all yeah. these things.
Kids so and work and
let
husband.
Me, let's do a little list on this mm-hmm. one for a second so we can put a frame reference, frame of reference for people. The only things I technically gave up were choices of things like, you know, dinners out that I chose to give up this time. And I'm saying that strongly because you have to appreciate your evolution. 5 years ago, my non-negotiables were, you know, I want to have half a glass of wine every night and I want to have a dinner out every Friday night. But as I evolved, my non-negotiables evolved, right? So I have given up nothing that hasn't been of choice. But when we speak about that, and somebody yesterday was just acknowledging this, it was actually my husband's powerlifting coach who pointed this out to us, because I don't really recognize it. But to give you the frame of reference, I technically own 3 businesses. My kids moved out. And my kids are 16 and 18. They moved out during prep. So we actually got them set up and moved out and all that stuff. My family, obviously my family needs were there. My dog got paralyzed. So I had to be a mommy doggy too, a doggy mommy. I have my 2 kids, but also my their boyfriends and girlfriends who I care for. And we're also building their businesses. I private coach and I coach groups of women. So all of that inside of the rest of this and building my business and moving
you
forward.
Moved.
I moved. Yeah. There's probably a lot of other things that I can't, I had to travel. Like next week, I have to go to Hawaii for 7 days for a client.
Nothing stopped.
No, nothing right? stopped. There's, and you know, it's interesting. Like this is planning, right? Because like, so I'm traveling next week for 5 days, 5 weeks before Worlds. And that for a lot of people would be like, okay, well, you can't, I can't prep, I can't do this, right? But I go to the extent of like actually planning my flights around training times. So I leave on a Wednesday, so it's my non-training day. I always make sure I go to the grocery store first. Like there is always a way. And right. and I think that that's like, you may not know the way, but that's what your coaches are for.
Right.
That's yes. what your coaches are for, to say, prep your meals, do this, do mm-hmm. that. There's always a way.
Yeah.
Nothing in my life stopped in the process.
I always, whenever we have, I love doing these post show interviews mm-hmm. Because the story is always, I think, more compelling.
Yeah.
You know, as coaches, you know, it's our business, right? So I never want it to seem like we're always promoting something because we're trying to move the right. business forward. Because I always feel like the story is more compelling. Mm-hmm. And we have so many different stories that,
yes.
you know,
like it you does, said, it everyone does, there has a story.
Everyone has a story. But one of the things that I always ask is, what do you wish more people, and I say people because it applies to both. What do you wish more people knew about this weekend or this journey itself that is probably holding them back because they have it? You know, they've told themselves a story about why they can't.
Yeah, I think that the thing that I would want people to really try to embrace is that the ROI on your life is exponentially more than any investment of time or energy that you're going to give in on the way there, right? Because I think sometimes people are like, oh, you know, I have to pay money to compete. Sometimes people can get bogged down by financials and stuff mm-hmm. like that, or time away from your family. But the return of investment on your life afterwards is 10x.
Or in that process.
Yeah. Like it's 10x, right? Like you're never going to be able to understand. And I've seen it, because I've seen it with our team members who maybe are new team members who had never experienced it. And I'm watching them come off the show. And now you know they get it, right? And so you can't necessarily get it before, mm-hmm. but you can lean into trust. And if you trust it and just kind of give way to that, because the ROI on life is huge, and it ultimately isn't that what it's all about, you know. Yes. Like I said, when yeah. we kick this off, like I have got a fire in my belly from this weekend, mm-hmm. and that fire has poured into my business and my family and my life and my prep. Like technically speaking, you know, I've been prepping since whatever February 22nd. I should be bagged right now, should be based on, you know, common conception.
Right.
I should need a week off, right? When it's done well, that's not the case, right? When you're coached properly. But the other side of that is I'm not in despair about it being over, because I'm taking that energy and I'm like, okay, what am I building now? What am I, how, like I even had a conversation with myself about taking that fire and translating it into business and showing up differently and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The ROI on your life is one that will take years off your life. If you're, no, we'll add years to your life. That sounded wrong. Take years off your age.
Right.
Add years to your life if you do it right.
Yes. And not just the show itself. No, I think the transformation is very apparent after show weekend because you get to be okay feeling pretty and being out there and doing something for you. Because once you're there and you get the hair and makeup done and you get behind that camera and then you go to registration, it's almost like you're kind of forced to block out everything else. Mm-hmm. You become, it's like when the butterfly like comes out, mm-hmm. you know, but the process, the transformation has been happening in there. Yeah. But it at that moment when you're done with all of that stuff is when you're able to really see it
and
come out on the other side. But the transformation is done.
Yeah.
The weekend is not, in my opinion, what transforms you.
100%.
It's everything along the way.
It's
what allows you to see that transformation and act on it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's probably the first time for a lot of them that they get to step into that new person fully.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
They're forced to because here you are. It's show weekend.
Right? Like you've been working on
this. But the transformation's done.
Right. You've been working on this physique for whatever amount of time. You've done the work. You've done all of this. And now you are forced to level up because now you've got to get done up. You've got to get dressed. Mm-hmm. And on the day-to-day things, you probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, you're like,
I'm the same. Like we've seen this like just with the members of the team, right? We've seen the post-show level up in our team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden, you know, people are redoing their wardrobes,
yeah,
and people are wearing
changing their hair, yeah.
And again, it's not about the ostensible, it's not about the external. But I do believe that when we show up in the world feeling good, we do
mm-hmm.
good,
mm-hmm.
and we pour. And nobody ever says like, "Oh, I didn't, you know, take a shower today because I felt like smelling."
Yeah,
right. People, it's usually like, "I didn't take a shower today because I don't have time because I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to be a mom, I have to do this." Right. Well, like now people are showering, like you know, and it's like such a really silly example, but the number
but
of moms
is.
That I work with who are like, it's like an inside joke, like, "Oh, I actually washed my hair today."
Yeah,
right. Like it's an inside mom thing, you know.
Yeah.
I brushed my hair; it's a win for the day,
right?
And so I think that when you look at the journey to get to stage, what you don't recognize is you're accumulating all these tiny habits, that are stacking
and
up.
All these wins,
and one day you're like, "Oh, wait a second. It's not the end of, like, I don't have to like mentally have a breakdown just thinking about drinking water. I do it naturally."
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like what I was saying, like on Sunday morning, I woke up and the very first thing I did, like technically I was off for 2 days, but the first thing I did was do my check-in.
Yeah.
Because it's what I do. It's like eating, it's like breathing, you know, and you don't recognize that all, like drinking more water, moving more, getting your steps, eating healthier, whatever those
feeling
things are.
Accomplished because you did do those things at the end
of
the day.
You're accumulating those tiny habits during the journey.
Yeah.
That you can use for the rest of your life.
And we do a lot of things along the way as a team,
mm-hmm.
To make sure that, you know, everyone has experiences that are already pulling them out of their comfort zone, making them feel good about
milestones.
Their milestones,
mm-hmm.
like a photo shoot. And we have team meetings and posing workshops and all that stuff. But I think, and so, like I said, you get to show weekend and you're already transformed inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the moment where you get to really lean into it and accept it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I even had a couple girls be like, "Oh my God, like I feel so pretty." Like, yeah, that's the goal. And we've done a photo shoot before and you've gotten glammed for it before and you couldn't say that,
right.
But now you can, because here we are, you know? So it's what really like completes, I think, that transformation, because I feel like we're ever evolving, not just physique wise, but
totally.
You know, internally. And so show to show or goal to goal, but it is that weekend where it just all like comes out.
And you know, I think that, you know, when you think about it, you could look at it as like, you know, making a wedding cake with the tears.
Yeah.
Right? And like cake, you could tell I just had my 2 days off. It's like one, like you have the tears of the cake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the decorations go on. And then if it's a birthday cake, you have a candle that goes on the top, right? So you got to look at it as like tier one,
mm-hmm.
right? What's level one? And then
right.
what's level two? And then what's level three, right? But once you've built that level one tier, it's your foundation.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, learning how to eat properly, learning how to, like that's done. And then you put the next tier on and the next tier on.
Right.
By the time you're done, you know, you have a beautiful cake. But the thing is like anybody who's an artist can relate to this. Your masterpiece is never done.
Right.
There's always one more flower you could put on, or
right.
one more sparkle you could put on. Right. And so it's, I also refer to it as climbing a mountain and like planting your flags along
mm-hmm.
the way. Right. You're just, this is just flag one. It's not, there is no destination. You know, there's only a destination for those who can't see beyond the imagination of what's possible for them.
Yeah.
So it's really just got to use the energy and go with that and
tweet that.
Yeah.
It was well said, wasn't it? Sometimes you just say shit.
It's kind of my jam.
So I always say that the stage is not for everyone, but it is something that anyone can do.
Yes.
It's not prohibited. Anyone, maybe the amount of time that it takes to get there is different for a lot of people, depending on where they're starting. But I certainly think that it is something that anyone can do if it's something that they really wanted to do. They just have to, you know, make the decision that it's, they're at least curious about it. Mm-hmm. And that's typically where we come in. You know, when that curiosity
exactly
opens
where
up,
we come in.
When that curiosity opens up, then, you know, I like to think that we take people from the inception of the thought to the stage,
yeah,
you know,
and after,
like, and after,
and beyond.
So yeah. If you've thought about it or considered it, if you have questions about any of it, feel free to reach out.
Let's chat.
We can always chat. Our goal is always to make sure that the journey to the stage is not complicated and not complex, and we want to simplify it as much as possible, and that you enjoy it. And I hope that a lot of what we shared this weekend with all the videos and all that, you know, portrays that it's a really good time, you know, if you allow it.
Yeah,
if you allow
it, it's amazing.
Well, that is it, everybody. I think that this is one of those shows that you should probably share, because it's always great to hear somebody's story. And if you watch our first interview with Carrie, make sure that you kind of like put these together, because they do go together, you know, how she felt leading up to this and the moments after.
I'm so glad
after.
We did both, before and after.
It's, I think it's super important to get both of them, but you never know who gets inspired by this. So if we can inspire just one person, you know, yeah, that'll be awesome.
That's always cool.
That's always great. So like, share, tweet, you know, do the things.
Stuff.
Do the things. Thank you for watching. Carrie, thank you for coming
on. Thank you, Carrie.
My pleasure.
We will see you at the next show.